This morning we're going to talk about the blindness of vision. You know, we need to prepare for paradigm shifts. We're entering a season in the body of Christ and in the world where God is going to be bringing some paradigm shifts. I mentioned this last week when we taught on service, improving our serve. But I want to focus this morning on just sort of the perfect portrait of a paradigm shift. That means whenever Jesus comes into our midst, he always transforms our expectations. Did you know he always frustrates our expectations and challenges us to receive his idea of expectation for our lives? And we're going to be looking at Saul, who becomes Paul this morning. I want to read the text, the full text in Acts 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. Read that again. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. We could call this message this morning, Are You Willing to Be Wrong? Are you willing to be wrong? Here's the principle this morning. Sometimes God has to blind us in order to give us new vision. Here's the principle. Sometimes God has to blind our eyes to the ways we've formerly seen God, our others, and ourselves, our cherished opinions. Some of us are addicted to seeing things a certain way, even religiously in relation to the Lord himself and his nature and his attributes. Some of us are addicted to seeing ourselves in a certain way, and sometimes God has to blind us to the way we used to see things in order to give us new vision. And did you notice that this man, and we'll tell his story in more detail, this man was struck to the ground and a great light overcame him. And when he opened his eyes, he didn't see anything. Did you know sometimes God has to bring blinding experiences into our lives in order to bring a paradigm shift, in order to cause us to think differently about the most cherished opinions we've held? Have you ever met somebody and you just knew they were a dog, or you just knew that you didn't like them and you heard a little something about them, and all of a sudden God blinds you to the way you formerly see them, and he opens your eyes with new vision, lets you see them the way he sees them, and you just met the best friend of your life? Did you know God's trying to bring paradigm shifts into our heart? You know, either we respond to goads or crisis moments. There are two ways God moves. What's a goad? Well, when you just imagine that you're in an old stagecoach or something, and you got a stick with a nail in it, and when that horse does something, goes somewhere you're not wanting it to go, you stick that thing in the butt. All right? It's hard. When that animal wants to go somewhere other than where you want it to go, it gets goaded, all right? Some of you are being goaded right now. Now, this man we're going to talk about, his name was Saul of Tarsus. Now, he was one of the most educated men of his time. He was sincere. He had a zeal, but it was a zeal without knowledge, and he was sincerely wrong about everything he was seeing. The story goes, Saul was raised under the greatest rabbi of his day. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had a great spiritual lineage. He was more passionate than all of those leaders of his day in Judaism. And he got into his head that it was his call in life to persecute the Church of Jesus Christ and exterminate it. Did you know there's nothing more damaging than a religious zealot who's wrong about something? Did you know he was smart, he was sharp, he was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong about his view of God, his view of the hope of a Messiah, his view about salvation and whether you were saved by keeping the law or by believing in a Savior? Saul of Tarsus was brilliant and sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. And so God began to goad him, all right? He's just like that beast of burden. God's sticking him in the butt with the nail. And God will do it. The first goad in Acts chapter 7, we see Stephen, the first martyr. If you read Acts chapter 7, you'll read one of the best sermons you've ever seen in your life. Stephen, a deacon, preached the best sermon, I think, in the New Testament and was stoned immediately after. And he was killed, and they laid the garments at the feet of Saul of Tarsus. Saul, goad number one, he watched Stephen, the first Christian martyr, preach the truth of the gospel. It pricked Saul's conscience. It was a goad from the Lord saying, you need to listen to what this man has to say. But Paul, in his murderous rage at the time, presided over that stoning. Goad number one, Stephen. Goad number two, he watched the Christians in their godly conduct. He watched them in their acts of charity. He heard things about Jesus of Nazareth, miracles that occurred. And so all of a sudden, goad number two, God's been pricking his conscience for a long time. You know, sometimes we're trying to go our own way and we keep feeling this nail. You just can't quite, you know, every time you go your way, you're getting goaded. You know, God will send the goads before he'll send a crisis moment. But if you ignore all the stop signs, you know, you can blow through stop signs. You know, the Holy Spirit first says no, then he says no, then he says no, then he says God will bring goads. C.S. Lewis used to say, God whispers to us in our pleasure, speaks to us in our conscience, and shouts at us in our pain. You know, you're in Hawaii, the breezes are blowing, everything in life good, isn't it wonderful? The Lord's speaking to you. Soften your heart. Obey him. That doesn't work? Those cops, woo, pull you over. Mm-mm. He speaks in your conscience. Oh my God. Mm-mm. And then you're laying in a hospital bed full of tubes, nowhere else to look but up. He's shouting. So you see, God uses goads, and these are opportunities in life where he's saying, you need to think differently about me. You need to think differently about those people. You're not right in the way you're thinking about that. And if you ignore the goads, though, hold on, there's good news. He brings crisis moments. So here's Saul. And, you know, he gets letters from the high priest to go to Damascus, about 150 miles away, and it's taken about 7 days to get there, and he is on his high horse with passion, sincerity, and he's going to kill every Christian. He can first, he's going to bind them, take them to Jerusalem, and he's going to preside over their lives, and he's trying to expunge this false doctrine called the way. And did you know there's always some fool that's going to agree with you when you're blind about somebody or something? Did you know you're always, someone write you a letter. It's going to agree with you. Sure, go kill the Christians. Destroy God's redemptive work on earth. Yeah, yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah, we'll write letters and support you. There's always some fool that's going to agree with you to do the wrong thing. So here comes Saul. He's ignored the goads. He's blown through the red lights. You know, you can see people. You see people driving through red lights. You know, they always pull you over and they didn't see that 18-year-old that just blew through the stop sign. Did it ever frustrate you? They pull you over and give you a ticket for going 56, right? And that teenager just went by at 125, you know. That's just another, I'm sorry, I had to get that off my chest. It was counseling or this. So thank you, I feel better. But you know you blow through those stops. Some people blow through endless stop signs and nothing ever seems to happen. And then you blow through one stop sign and they arrest you and take you in and hang you up by your thumbs. You know, it doesn't seem fair. Well, you know what? Hold on. You don't obey the goads, you get a crisis moment. It's midday. Saul is on his murderous. Boy, is he focused.
He is a very focused leader. Focus is very important.
And at noonday, when he is just in sight of the city of Damascus, just getting that flow, I'm in the will of God, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, a light from heaven strikes him down to the ground and blinds him. This great man in such control of his life. Are we willing to be wrong? How willing are we to be wrong? How willing? But we can't go into this next season that God's going to bring unless we're free and our hands are open and we're willing to be wrong and acknowledge what we're wrong about. Well, in Saul's case, look at this. This is an oopsie and an ouchie. Okay? When the crisis moment comes, he is knocked down to the ground. He's momentarily disabled. So that God can get his attention. And when he opens his eyes, he doesn't see anything anymore. You know, God blinded him. And it says they led him by the hand, this great, powerful, passionate, sincerely wrong man is just about to be confronted with how wrong he's been, not about something, but about everything. Did you know sometimes we got to be willing to be wrong about everything we've ever heard about God? I don't know how many of you have a God picture. You were raised up and God is a tyrant and people told you he's mad at you and he's going to hit you on the knuckles every time you sin. And he's going to, guess what? That's not true. He loves you and he won't kill you with lightning. Or there would have been lips and tennis shoes probably a long time ago in your life. See, your God picture that you were given, if it's a false God picture, will continue to affect your life in a negative way. And Saul wasn't just wrong about some things. He was wrong about everything. And Jesus had to give him a crisis moment at noonday, knocked him down, blinded him. And through the blindness of vision, he said, Paul, I've got to blind you to some things that you're addicted to seeing a certain way. First of all, Paul's view of God. Paul was a very well-educated man, but his view of God was wrong. His view of God had been wrong. He had to reevaluate. Did you know we're moving into a time of, oh no. You know when you really screw up big time and misjudge somebody and because of circumstances or whatever happened, and then you take the bait of Satan and you're offended and you pass a judgment, and then God says, you know, you shouldn't say that. That you found out that was wrong about them. That wasn't even true. And you go, oh no, you know, I was wrong. When's the last time you just went, oh no, I was wrong about my view of God. Oh no, I was wrong about that person. They didn't steal my money. I left it under the, you know, pillow. And I accused them of something that was wrong. Well, you know what? God brought blindness to Saul because he needed to knock him down because he needed to have him recalibrate everything that he's been believing. First about God. Your God picture is the most important thing about you. If your view of God is not a warm and gracious and loving God, then you're not going to approach him in times of trouble. You're going to run the other way. So God is telling Saul, Saul, I hate to tell you, this is really going to be a bad 3 days you're going into. The Bible says for 3 days he was blind and he didn't drink anything and he didn't eat anything. Did you know sometimes you can be so discombobulated when God corrects you about him, about others, and about yourself? When you've passed false judgments, when you've seen people a certain way because you're addicted to seeing a certain way, then Jesus blinds us in order to give us a new vision. And here's Saul. Now he's knocked on the ground and he says, who are you, Lord? And the response is, worst thing Saul could ever hear. I'm Jesus. Right. Oh, no. Who you are persecuting. Having a case of the vapors. Yeah. Uh-huh. Isn't that horrible? Doesn't that stink? When you're so wrong. My dad used to say, dead ass wrong. Sorry. That's wrong. Good and wrong. Totally wrong about his view of God. Oh, no. You mean the one who I've been mocking that died on the cross and they've said he rose and I've been fighting against him to exterminate him? Yeah. Jesus said, yeah, I know it's a bad moment for you, but I'm going to strike you with blindness because you've been seeing things wrong about me. Well, I'm going to correct. Number one, I'm the resurrected Lord and King of heaven and earth, and I am your Lord. And Saul goes, what do you want me to do? They're leading him around. Some of you may be feeling you're being led around by the hand right now because you thought you saw so many things correctly. And how willing are you to be absolutely dead wrong about everything? You just say, you know what, Lord, I'm not throwing you into skepticism. I'm just simply saying we've got to be willing all the time to be blinded to addictive ways we used to see God and his plan. And look at poor Paul. When God brings blindness, he gives us a mental revolution. Paul was having a mental revolution blind on the ground. Then they lead him by the hand, and he's every step he's going to Damascus. So he's going into Damascus, but not for what he was going to go into Damascus for. Mr. Big Shot thought he knew God's plan. Did you ever think you knew God's plan? I've got it down. I've got it down. The Lord says, all right, well, how about no? How about not even close? All right? Now, I know you're not like Saul. I'm just sort of preaching to myself today, but God is blinding all of us to some ways we've been seeing. And it's not to harm us. It's to help us. Because if you continue with a false view of God, it's going to affect you negatively and everyone around you. And if you continue holding your same opinion about men, all men are, or all women are, or all lawyers are, or all, you know, we've all got stereotypes, right? That where we've been seeing categories a certain way. Well, God blinds us sometimes temporarily to the old way of seeing. So he can give us new vision. So here's Saul. He's going, oh, my Lord. Oh, no. Jesus is Lord. Oh, how embarrassing. I've been mocking him. Oh, no. I've been killed. My goal and vision and purpose. Could you tell us your mission statement, Saul? It is to exterminate the new false cult Christianity and to expose their false God Jesus and to kill them as quickly as I can. Oops. Wrong mission statement. And so do you see what's going on inside him? He's a smart guy. It didn't take him long. It took him 3 days. You know, sometimes you can be so wrong about something, it'll put you can't even eat. You can't even drink. And he just says, it just says he fasted 3 days, everything. Sometimes you just got to fast all your old vision and your way of seeing God, others, and yourself, because God's recalibrating your whole life. I believe that we are going to see paradigm shifts that radical coming into our lives, not as a punishment. Don't get me wrong. Don't get my tone wrong. This is good news. God's about to blind us to old ways of seeing us so he can open up a new vision and give us his eyes to see us the way he sees us. That's a good paradigm shift. That's wonderful. Saul is really having a bad hair day. Heresy day. Bad heresy day. Because he has been wrong about God. Now he finds out. It's going to take him 3 more years, by the way. The Bible says he takes 3 years to recalibrate everything he was thinking. He was wrong about God and his attributes. He was wrong about the hope of the Messiah. The Messiah had come. His name is Jesus. He's the risen Lord and Savior. Oh, no, I should have had a V8. You know those moments? You keep putting dents in your forehead. What was I thinking? Did I say that? Did I really believe that? Come on. All right, so it doesn't get any easier getting older. You got to be willing to be wrong. You got to be willing to go into this next season with a blessing. We've got to be willing to say, you know what, Lord, I need a blank slate. I need you to clear my old way of seeing and blind that now so you can open up a new vision. I want to see you the right way. I want to see your plan the right way. I want to see men the right way, women the right way, relationships the right way. I can't keep addicted to my old ways of seeing. But no, this is good news. So Saul is now... He spends 3 days just really having a mental revolution. He's got to rearrange and recalibrate everything about God. The hope of the Messiah, he was wrong about that. Listen to this. He was wrong about the law, keeping the law to be saved. That was all wrong. The law was given to show you that you can't save yourself. You need a Savior. And whoops, guess who it is? Jesus. Oh, no. So he's spending 3 days in his, oh, my God, I'm wrong about everything. And sometimes it's a little threatening and intimidating when you start seeing how certain you've been about so many things, and it's actually the myth of certainty. And it is a myth because, you know, the more you study and the older you get and the wiser you get, the more you realize, I was wrong. Somebody came up to me the other day with good news for me. They said, you don't know it, but I have all your tapes from 1978 and 79 and 80. Oh, really? I grabbed the knife at the table. We were in Florida. And I said, you know what? If you let those things up, you know, I don't want anybody. What was I preaching in 70? I don't remember some stuff. I said, I want control over what I said on those tapes. And he had a gleam in his eye. This guy had a gleam in his eye. I said, get that gleam out of your eye right now in Jesus' name. You won't give me those tapes. I'm taking control in Jesus' name of those tapes. Hold on, kasha daba. You know, because I used to believe some things that I don't believe anymore, and I don't really want that put out in the street now to be on somebody's iPod. What did he say? Well, that was 40 years ago. That doesn't sound like it. He talks the same, sounds as immature. Did you know you believed some things that you've been really dead wrong about, and God's about to give a paradigm shift, and he'll bring the goads first to let you save face. You know, if we judge ourselves, 1 Corinthians 11:31, we don't need to be judged by another. Take the goad. You don't need the crisis moment. I'm a goad man. I want to take the hint rather than just having to be knocked down in front of everybody and made blind. Isn't that terrible? God's got to knock us off a horse at noonday where everybody can see, take us off by the hand. We have to recalibrate everything. So Saul is in he's having a mental revolution. He's had to rethink his view of who God is, who the Messiah is, how we're saved by grace through faith, not of works of the law. And this is going to take him 3 years to recalibrate and refilter all of this. Has God been changing your heart in any way? You know what? Paradigm shifts are wonderful. They're gifts of God. He blinds our vision to the way we've seen in order to open our vision. By the way, Paul does receive prayer and scales fall from his eyes and he has a new vision. When this man regains vision, the next time his whole view of God has changed, paradigm shift. His whole view of himself and his place in the world is changed. Because if you read on in Acts 9, there was a little man named Ananias. Jesus appeared to him and said, go to the street called Straight in that house and ask for Saul of Tarsus and you tell him, Jesus said, he's a chosen servant unto me. He's going to stand as a gift to the Gentiles, and he's going to speak before great people. And I want you to go and encourage him because he's praying right now. This little blind man that knew everything about everything, the myth of certainty, got blinded, and all that got beaten out of his vision. And now Ananias comes and lays hand and says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus appeared to me, and you're going to be suffering many things for his name's sake. But your chosen vessel lays hands on him and scales fall from, as it were, from Saul's eyes. And he becomes Paul. Saul becomes Paul, the man who writes 2/3 of the books of the New Testament. But you know, he needed a crisis moment. He needed a paradigm shift. And he wouldn't listen to the goads, so he got the crisis. And after 3 days, you know, sometimes we need 3 days. But not only did he have a mental revolution, secondly, blindness that God brings will bring a moral reevaluation. Saul wasn't just rethinking his theology and rethinking his belief about God and his importance and place in the world, but everything he used to value, he had to recalibrate. He used to value his heritage of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, taught by the greatest rabbi, Gamaliel, of the day. Even his rabbi that he went to said about the Christian movement, Saul, leave this thing alone. If it's not of God, it'll come to nothing. If it is of God, you may find yourself happily fighting God himself. Did you know sometimes we don't realize it because we're blind and we're addicted to seeing a certain way, but we're fighting God Almighty, not a person, but God. That's a sad thing to have your eyes open in the middle of a battle and see that you are opposing the Lord and his work. But you know, John 16, verse 2, Jesus said something very interesting, and I want to read it to you. He said, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God a service. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. Did you know that people can sincerely set themselves against the will of God Almighty and think they're doing the right thing? Have you ever been there? Jesus said, hey, let me tell you something. There's a real hoot. You're going to serve me doing the will of God on earth, and there's going to be people who think God told them to beat you publicly. Paul, 3 times, was beaten with rods, 39 times. Over and over was taken out and stoned and left for dead after sermons. How'd you like that? You preach a sermon, someone takes the offering, and you go out and you're stoned almost dead. They pull you up all bloody and unconscious. It happened to him all the time. Wound up in prison, writing 2/3 of the books of the New Testament, chained to a Roman guard. You know what? Sometimes you're doing the right thing, and someone gets it in their head that you're the enemy and that you need to be fought. And Jesus said, don't be alarmed when they bring you in public and even excommunicate you and throw you out and say, you're a dog, you're a heretic. He said, they did it to me. They're going to do it to you because people that are religious zealots tend to have such a pride about what they're doing and a certainty about how they're doing it that they're never willing to admit they're wrong. How wrong are we willing to be about everything? You know what? This is a time where we need to say, Lord, you don't need to blind me. I'm one of those gold people. I'm going to hear what you say. I'm going to let you adjust my vision. I'm going to let you adjust my vision about you, others, and myself. I don't need you to blind me to old ways of seeing so that I can only then have a new vision. I embrace a new vision. Let's be the people that say, bring on the paradigm shift. I want to see you different, Lord. I want to see others different. I want to see myself. I want to see the way you see. I want to see you how you really are, not how I've always had opinions. My opinions are not my God. Did you know some people's opinions are their little God and their little idol? And idols are idols whether they are metal or mental. Some of you would never burn incense before a Baal statue, but you burn an incense before your opinion, which is God's truth come down from Sinai. Think of one opinion enshrined in your mind, a stereotypical image of a group, a people group, a racial group, men, women, whatever your invincible opinion is, you know, that you hold forth at dinner after you've eaten. The Bible says the fool fills his belly and starts talking. Nothing worse than a fool with a full belly, because he begins to preside. Yeah. And all of his godlike opinions come out. And you know what? If you heard Saul over dinner a week before God struck him down to the ground, and what he said about God and how salvation was by keeping the law and the Christians were the devil and we're going to kill them all, his table conversation was a little bit different after he'd been struck down in a crisis moment, led by the hand. In 3 days, he didn't eat or drink anything. Did you know? And also, did you know during this time, this 3 days, and God will bring us into 3 days, a symbol of a season where we have to recalibrate, where no one can really help us. The Christians couldn't help him because they were still scared of him. He wasn't going to go to his Jewish brethren with this good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Whoops. So he's alone with God. Sometimes you need to get alone with God. And he'll blind you to old ways of seeing, and he'll give you fresh vision right there in that season of silence. Sometimes we need to be alone. Nobody there swaying us. I want to encourage you this morning. It's a time where we as a body are going to commit to being open to paradigm shifts. That means the way you viewed your relationships, what you've been praying for, how you've been praying. You know what? It's a wonderful position to be in. Utterly befuddled in God, before God. Saying, I don't know. You had the myth of certainty. You've renounced that. Now you're not too sure about things. See, the older I get, the less sure I am about everything. I'm always certain about him because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But my knowledge of him isn't perfect. You see, I'm still growing in my understanding of God. That's why you're never going to hear that the tapes from 1978 and live. I could play one for you, but I have to kill you. Amen. And on that note, on the upswing of encouragement, I want to encourage you. Just say yes to paradigms in Jesus' name. We say yes, Lord. Come and do whatever you want to do. Blind us to old ways of seeing. Open our vision to new ways of seeing in every area. And Lord, we're willing to be totally wrong about everything if we have to be, because we want a paradigm shift and we want to see with your eyes. And everybody said, amen. Someone's giving praise. Someone give him praise.